Hey, you're listening to The Zen Courses Show, episode 21. Let's go. Welcome to The Zen Courses Show, the show for online course creators who care about building actionable, meaningful, and profitable online courses. If you're a solo entrepreneur, tech geek, or creative, The Zen Courses Show is the place to get expert advice for creating your online course, overcoming overwhelm, and growing a balanced business. To get the full experience, sign up at zencourses.co, where you'll get access to free lessons, resources, and more. Again, that's zencourses.co. What's up, everyone? Today, I have the amazing Steph Crowder from Fizzle.co as a guest on the show. Steph is the Director of Member Success over at Fizzle, where she helps entrepreneurs plow through challenges and not quit. Steph, welcome to the Zen Courses Show.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm really excited to be here.
I'm excited to chat with you. So is there anything you want to add to that intro? Can you tell us a bit more about yourself and the work you do?
Sure. So you really hit the nail on the head. I work over at Fizzle.co, the community for entrepreneurs who want to make progress in their business and not quit. We, just in case anyone has never heard of Fizzle before, we're basically just a platform that combines training. So training for entrepreneurs with everything that you need from how to come up with your first business idea all the way to scaling it to profitability. We provide training videos, but we also provide a very vibrant community of all of our members at this point, close to 2,000 people, active members at this time, who are interacting on a daily basis in a very active and vibrant way in our community. And that's kind of where I come in as the Director of Member Success. Like you said, I work primarily with the community, being in there with the people every day, making sure that everyone who's part of our community has what they need to get, keep building their way towards the business that they dream of and make progress every single day. So that's what I do with Fizzle.
Yeah. And for those who have been listening, I have mentioned Fizzle more than a few times. I'm a member of Fizzle. I love it. I think that anybody starting an online business should be a part of Fizzle. It's just absolutely fantastic. And the community, in my opinion, is just one of like the best parts, just keeping you so motivated. So I can't wait to dig into that.
Awesome.
Cool. So I like to start things off a little bit differently to help people get to know you a bit. I've got 5 quick questions for you. Are you ready?
I am ready. Let's do it.
Okay. Early bird or night owl?
Early bird, for sure. Although a reluctant early bird. I love the morning. I am my most productive. I like the quiet morning hours, but that doesn't mean that I pop out of bed with all the energy in the world. I definitely fight the snooze button, although morning is definitely my favorite.
Yeah, I'm with you there. I am with you. Okay. Second question, and this is a twofer. Do you have a morning ritual? And if so, what is it?
Okay, so I love talking about morning ritual. I do, but again, I absolutely think of it as a practice. I think we hear about people's morning rituals and sometimes it sounds maybe unintentionally like this is something I do every single day and it just comes naturally. Yes. At least to me, it doesn't come very naturally. I have to really will myself to do my morning ritual. Although, and I enjoy it. It's just that sometimes, especially working on your own schedule, working from home, like some of us do, it can be really challenging to not just dive right into the work. But I absolutely find that I have my better days when I do my morning ritual. So for me, that includes, I am a big fan of the 5-minute journal, basically any kind of gratitude journaling that allows you to reflect on a few things that are, that you're just really thankful to have in your life, as well as an opportunity to visualize what you want to go well in your day. I think that part's really important because it gives me the chance to literally like almost imagine frame by frame what's going to happen in my day. So I'm intentionally deciding what's going to happen in my day when I'm doing that visualization. So I really like the 5-minute journal for that. After that, if I'm really doing my routine the way that I like to, I already have my top 3 biggest tasks that I need to complete picked out from the day before. And for anybody who's interested in productivity journaling, we actually have a really great episode that Chase put together on the Fizzle Show believe it's fizzleshow.co/99. It's episode 99 of the Fizzle Show. Just a great episode about productivity journaling. And really the cliff notes of that are taking three things when you finish your day, kind of closing out your day and deciding what are the three main things that I need to do tomorrow. I really like waking up already knowing what those three things are for myself. So I really craft my whole day around those three things. I am somebody who likes to try to schedule my day with an hour by hour planner. I don't always stick to that, but it's a loose framework that allows me to make sure I've budgeted for the three things that are most important to me. So I do that. Also try to get some kind of exercise, maybe a long walk with my dog or a yoga practice or some weights. And then I have my coffee and take a shower and get going.
Very cool. Lots of good stuff there. And I am also a fan of just kind of setting the priorities for the day. So I love that you put that out there. It's been really helpful for me since I started it. Cool. So what did you want to be when you were a kid?
Oh man, when I was a kid, I definitely had a bunch of different ideal professions, but I think probably the one that I was most excited about is I thought I was going to be either a zookeeper or a veterinarian. I was the kid. I never played with dolls, really. I just wasn't as interested in them. They were available to me, but animals were my jam. And I would play zoo. I would, like, you know, have them on a schedule. This sounds really weird. It says a lot about me. But I would have my animals and I would make sure they were cared for. And I've always been an animal lover. So I thought I would end up going down that path. I didn't, obviously, but I do have a dog who I love very much. So I guess I fulfilled that in some way.
Interesting. Okay.
That's not
I definitely was like not expecting that. But you know what? I interviewed Jason Zook and he mentioned zoos as well and being a zookeeper. And I was like, okay, like, it's crazy.
It seemed so normal to me at the time.
Right. Okay. What's your favorite holiday?
My favorite holiday, I think, is Thanksgiving, which, of course, at the time of this recording, we just finished up that holiday. I love Thanksgiving because I'm a big family person, really enjoy spending time with the people who are closest to me. And I also like the anticipation of the rest of the year. Like when you're celebrating Thanksgiving, you have the holidays coming up. Janelle and I have in common that we both live in Chicago. So usually that means that the snow's starting to fall, which I actually like snow until the end of Christmas when I'm done with it. So I really like Thanksgiving as kind of like kicking off this time of year that's really special.
Cool. And last question, what does meaningful work mean to you?
Oh, that's a great question. Meaningful work to me means a couple of things. It's two-sided to me. One, it allows me to do the work that makes me feel like I'm impacting others. I think that at the end of the day, no matter what you do in your work, that's as human beings, that's kind of somewhere within the deep layers of what it is that we crave is connection and feeling like we're making a difference, feeling like our time on earth, you know, benefited somebody else is super gratifying. So I think meaningful work means feeling that you are able to impact others. That's the first part. The second part is I think that word meaning has to also be reflected in your entire life. I'm sure we'll probably get into this a little bit, but I spent the first part of my career working really hard and doing work that I kind of cared about, but it didn't necessarily give me the kind of life that I really wanted to have. It didn't make me feel whole on a personal level. So I think that meaningful work also means that you feel realized as a person. You feel like you're able to be the best version of yourself and enjoy every single day versus kind of like saving up for maybe the life you'll have someday. Yeah. So that's kind of the two-parter for me.
Well, that's a great segue into the next question. So how did you come to be an entrepreneur? What's your story, Steph?
Yeah, so it's really funny. More fun facts from my childhood, I guess. Once I graduated from the whole zoo thing, I definitely saw myself as an ambitious young woman. When I was in probably eighth grade, I had a huge mural. I don't know how I convinced my parents to do this, but I had a mural on my bedroom wall of New York City. And to me, that represented, I believed I was going to be this powerful CEO of a big company. I was going to live in the city and I was going to kind of take over the world. That was always my vision. And I don't know why. I thought that that would be sort of the destination for success. And that sort of played out in the rest of my growing up. Went to college, came to Chicago because I went to school in the Midwest, found a good job. I ultimately landed at Groupon, where I spent 5 years, had an awesome time working at Groupon. I started with that company when it was itty bitty. It was 2010 and it was just starting to take off. So it was very exciting. I often say that I had a seat on a rocket ship. I was very young at the time. I was really just out of school. And I really believe I had a lot of opportunities working with that company that I wouldn't have necessarily had at a more established company. There weren't hierarchies necessarily or career tracks by any stretch. It was sort of, you know, a lot of the positions and a lot of the success was up for grabs, and that was really motivating to me. So I started to become interested in entrepreneurship and the success of a fledgling business by working for one. And like I said, having this seat on a rocket ship, I started in sales. So literally cold calling small businesses in South Florida was my territory. I would call them and I would try to get them to be on this thing called Groupon that nobody had heard of at the time. So that was what I like to call character building. I had a lot of doors slammed in my face.
Yep.
But I grew a lot. I found some success. I did get the hang of it, although there were a lot of tears involved. It was not like a hit for me off the bat. But I ultimately landed in the training department at Groupon. And I went from being somebody who's, we were growing like crazy at the time. We had classes of 30 people joining the company every 2 weeks. And I was standing in front of that class teaching them how to do what I had done. And that just, you know, I continued down that path. I became a leader within that department, ultimately had the opportunity to run the department, which was an amazing, incredible experience. I became super interested in leadership and also training. So as this is happening, I sort of am starting to contemplate. A lot of things happen for me during this time. I get married. I, you know, buy my first condo with my husband. So things are, I'm starting to grow up a little bit. And I start to think about family, which is something that my husband and I are working towards. We would really like to expand our family. And I was really lucky, so lucky in at Groupon to have incredible mentors, many of which were women. So I had climbed this corporate ladder quickly, but I also was lucky to have women who were in leadership positions above me. I know that's not always the case for everyone, but for me, it was great. And I loved them. I loved learning from them. I admired them in so many ways. But one of the things that was kind of just like this nagging voice in the back of my head is I looked at their personal lives and something didn't feel quite right to me. Without fail, every single one of them either were really the sole breadwinner in their families and their husbands chose to stay home and be with the kids, yeah, which was great. I thought that was really cool that this sort of like paradigm shift was starting to happen. Or I did witness a few times, you know, they would become pregnant, decide that they were going to have a family, and then they would have to choose that they were going to leave. And I looked at this trade-off and something kind of started to brew within me. I was just thinking to myself, you know, I don't see myself as the type of person who would be able to stay home full-time with kids. I mean, seriously, hats off to people who can. I think it's the hardest job in the world and I really care about having meaningful work. So I knew that I wanted to continue to have a career and build my skills, but I also didn't want to feel like I was going to be, I mean, I was in an office from 8 to 6 at least at this time. So something about this didn't feel sustainable. Even though I enjoyed what I was doing, I felt very grateful for the experience. It just didn't feel like my personal life was on track. So that's when I kind of started to think about what other options were out there. I started listening to, you know, the greats, if you will, you know, Pat Flynn. And that's ultimately how I discovered Fizzle. I was listening to a podcast where Corbett Barr, who is the CEO and co-founder of Fizzle, was the guest on, I think it was on Jess Lively's show over at jesslively.com. And Corbett was talking about this training platform that he had built for entrepreneurs. Now, at the time, as I had been kind of listening to the likes of Pat Flynn and others who had built this amazing life where they were doing meaningful work and having the family component, I had also started to build my own small career coaching business called Miss Corner Office. And this kind of happened naturally for me. A lot of women, because I had success, I was getting approached by women who were either in my company or maybe on LinkedIn or people who went to my university. And I was starting to have these sort of mentor type relationships with young women, and I really enjoyed it. So as I'm having all of these influences around me, I started to wonder if I couldn't turn career coaching for women into a business. So that's what I did. I created my business and I actually joined Fizzle as a member. So when I heard Corbett on that podcast talking about his lifestyle that he had built and talking about Fizzle, I almost wanted to pull my car over and join right there just because I have a background in training and I'm trying to build a business. I was like, this is a no-brainer. And I resonated with his story too. So I joined as a member. Things are going great. I learned a lot and I'm building my business. And I just kind of started to feel more and more connected to the mission that these three guys, Corbett, Barrett, and Chase, were on. I was listening to their podcast religiously. You know, if anyone's listened to the show, you kind of feel like you get to know them, which is really cool. And I started actually having interactions with Barrett in private, just in the forums at Fizzle. And when they were looking for somebody to take over their member success area of the business, because Barrett moved on to focusing on growth, I knew I had to put my name in the hat. It felt like a once in a lifetime opportunity. And here we are.
That is a great story. So, but I'm curious, are there any entrepreneurs in your family, or are you the only one?
You know, I guess my dad is definitely not. My dad is a successful salesman. I guess that's where the sales thing came from. And he's definitely he's always, you know, I'll say this. He, throughout my childhood, I have memories of him saying things to me like, you know, I think I'm just going to go open a store. I'm just going to go open something. This was before online business was really a thing.
Yeah.
I want to be my own boss. He would talk about it, but it's not something that was ever realized for him, at least not yet. You know, who knows? He could certainly choose to do that. And I hope he does, actually. But I would get these little hints from my father growing up where he would express interest in it, but I never saw him actually take that leap. And in fact, when I did decide to do this, he was certainly nervous for me. You know, I had this great, great job with Groupon. So really, by society's definition, found success at a young age. For me to say, you know, I think I'm going to take this risk and go join this itty bitty company of these guys that I met on the internet. He was definitely a little bit concerned. But I think, you know, today, now that I've been with Fizzle for a while, I think that it definitely feels like, I don't know, there's something to that with him always talking about that dream and getting to watch me realize it. I think it's his influence for sure that got me thinking about it.
How long did you run Miss Corner Office?
I was running Miss Corner Office. I dabbled in it for a while. I was serious about it for probably about 6 months, like actually trying to monetize and have services and working with clients. I worked with clients seriously for about 6 months. And that's really when I was at the point of, you know, do I want to really jump off the cliff and try to get this thing off the ground and see if I can get myself to that minimum viable income and make this my full-time job.
Yeah.
And that's right when the Fizzle opportunity popped up. So I did have a little bit of a decision to make there.
So let's go back to that time when you left Groupon. And well, I think you said when you started Miss Corner Office, you were still at Groupon, right?
Yes. Yeah. No, I didn't leave Groupon until I joined Fizzle, actually.
Gotcha. So what challenges did you encounter when you were starting out with Miss Corner Office and trying, when you like really committed and said, okay, I'm going to grow this for those 6 months?
Oh man, you know, how much time you got? I mean, definitely a lot of challenges. Especially I would say, you know, I was in charge of running a team. I had people reporting to me. So I felt very busy. I also felt, and I'm sure there are people who are listening who have this side hustle and they have a full-time job. You do sort of feel like you're living a double life. And that's not an awesome feeling. I was really nervous about people finding out about it, not because I thought that anybody would really have a problem with it, because I don't really think they would have, but it sort of felt like I would be outed, you know, and like they would know that I had this other like thing that I did. And I really didn't want anyone to think that I wasn't taking my responsibilities at Groupon seriously, because I really was. And I did up until the day I left, which I'm very proud to say. But it was very challenging figuring out how do I work on this thing. And it was the passion was and excitement for it was building with every tiny little bit of success that I got. How do I balance that with being fully present in my work at Groupon? And I have to say, I think that was the key. And I heard this somewhere, I can't remember, it's been said a few times, but one of the light bulb moments for me was realizing that the more I put, and it sounds counterintuitive, but the more I put my energy and devotion into my full-time job, which was, by the way, allowing me to, you know, have my bills paid, allowing me to have the comfort in life to build Miss Corner Office, it helped me. I had a lot of appreciation for that job instead of resenting that job. I think it's very tempting to be like, if I didn't have this full-time job standing in my way, I could be successful. I tried really hard to see it differently, which was that this was feeding my hobby at the time, my side hustle. And that gratitude really helped. The second thing was, and this was tough too, I tried really hard. And for the very most part, I did not work on Miss Corner Office while I was at Groupon. I didn't want to blur those lines. I had some like ethical issues about it. I didn't want to be on the clock and working on something else. So I did, we talked about early being an early bird. That's where the early bird actually came, you know, that's when it was born for me, was I did get up early to work on it. I did, you know, take time at lunch if I could. And I did work on it in the evening and on weekends. So I think that keeping it separate and also having gratitude and appreciation for your current situation, it really does help change your energy so you can be better in your side hustle.
Yeah. Before we move on to talk about Fizzle, I love that you put that out there, that you talked about having gratitude, because I think that perspective is so important when you're building something on the side and you still have like your main thing that's occupying a lot of space and energy. And so many times I think we get caught up in a place of negativity, of resenting that thing, right? And the reality is that thing is putting a roof over our heads. It's allowing us to eat and take care of our families. And it's important to come from a place of gratitude and see it for what it is and focus, you know, have your focus on, yeah, what you're building, what you're creating. But that resentment doesn't do any good at all.
Totally. Yeah. And it's funny because that resentment actually feels good. Like if you allow yourself to resent it, you're like, you kind of like, yeah, I'm sticking it to the man type of thing. But it's true. The energy that I don't think it's possible to have that kind of energy and like compartmentalize it. I think that energy spills over into anything that you do. So if you create the right kind of energy in your full-time work, then that's the energy that you're going to bring to your business and vice versa. So, you know, really cultivating the right mindset, I think it impacts everything you do, and it's not possible to compartmentalize it.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. So let's talk about Fizzle. I guess the first thing is, let's talk about managing membership sites. We're seeing a lot of them pop up lately.
Yes.
Do you think that membership sites, is that a good thing that there's so many people out there creating membership sites? Are they good for, is it a good thing?
You know, it's so funny. It's a great, great question. And we have a lot of people in Fizzle who really dream of building membership sites. Yeah. And I totally get the appeal, right? I mean, it makes sense if you talk about revenue, you have a recurring revenue model. So instead of just selling someone, you might think to yourself, instead of selling a course just one time, I can take these people's money month after month or whatever your model looks like. So it does kind of seem like the coup de grace of products for online business. I would say, I think that it's great. I think it's great that there's different kinds of revenue models out there. So from that perspective, I think membership sites are great. I think that people who have a membership site that they love, that's awesome. I really hope I don't sound pessimistic, but I will be real about running a membership site. I think it's very easy. And certainly before I was involved in Fizzle, I had no idea how much it takes to run a membership site. It is an endeavor. I mean, just to give everyone perspective, we run Fizzle and there's four of us right now who work on Fizzle full-time, easily full-time. And there's tons of stuff that we have undone that we would love to do. We could easily staff many more people than that. And just the community aspect alone, I mean, that's my full-time job. And I don't get to everything that I would like to get to. I mean, it's an endeavor just for me to read every conversation that's happening within the community. So membership sites are great. There's a lot. It's very fun. It's very gratifying to build it. It's so cool having customers that we get to interact with, people that we get to know over time, just like yourself, Janelle. I mean, to have known, you know, Corbett and Chase have known you for 3 years now, which is crazy and awesome, but it takes a lot of work. And there's also some limitations right now from a tools perspective. We get asked a lot how we've built the platform. And the truth is, we're really very, very lucky to have Corbett's background. He really has like ripped out a lot of the programs that we use and built them from the ground up using custom code. So if you don't have that capability, it can be challenging to build the kind of membership sites that you dream of. It's not that it can't be done. It's just that there's really not right now like an out of the box membership, you know, platform that you can just plug in. It's going to take some creativity. So membership sites are great. It's awesome. There are many vibrant communities out there, and I think they benefit a lot of people, but there's definitely a lot of work that comes along with it too. So I just like to keep that part real.
Gotcha. Yep. And I know because you're a big hip hop fan, we're just going to keep it 100. We're just going to go.
That's right. That's so true.
Okay. So let's get a closer look. What is the average day for you look like when you're in the forums, you know, managing and moderating? What does that look like for you?
Yeah. So that's one part of my job. It's a big part. I'm also the front line in terms of working with our customers on a support level. So not even just our customers, but anybody who emails us, email support is likely going to get me first unless I happen to be on vacation or something. So I'm doing a lot of that. It's really interesting because this has been a really cool challenge for me and different than anything I've done in other work. I do everything from basic, like, let me help you reset your password, to brainstorming how we can keep people or how we can get people more active in Fizzle from the get-go. So it's incredibly tactical and also very strategic. So that's been a little bit of a challenge of learning how to, in Fizzle, we actually call it being in worker bee mode versus CEO mode. So I have to kind of switch my brain back and forth. But for the time that I'm actually in the community, it could look like a lot of different things. I am often doing webinars and coaching sessions in groups with our customers, whether it's walking them through our small business roadmap that's designed to help walk people through everything they need to know in 9 stages about building a business. Or it might be Fizzle Friday, where we do group coaching once a month with one of us from the team, sometimes all 4 of us. So sometimes I'm interacting with customers, you know, over Skype or over GoToMeeting or something, which is one of my favorite things to do. It's probably the teaching and training background. And I love that. But I'm also, what I'm doing most commonly is I'm in our forums, which you mentioned, Janelle. I'll be in there, you know, I really do try to read every conversation. I'm responding to a lot of them. I'm oftentimes kind of playing quarterback and tagging Chase, Corbett, and Barrett to jump in and weigh in on something that I feel is especially well-suited to their backgrounds and expertise. So all 4 of us are in there interacting. I'm in there the most just because that's my wheelhouse. But that's really one of the things that I think is so cool. And I know as a member of Fizzle, that was one of the things that stood out to me about the community. When I had private interactions with Barrett, for example, I mean, that just blew me away. It made me feel like, wow, these are real people. So if anyone out there is building a community, and by the way, you don't have to just build like a membership site. These days, Facebook groups are becoming a really big thing. And I'm a big fan of Facebook groups as an easy way to build a community. You don't have to use any kind of custom code or any platform. You can literally just create a group and have your audience there on Facebook, which I think is really cool. And that seems to be taking off for people. But one of the things that I think is really important and possibly tricky about a community is balancing. On one hand, you want your community to be self-directed. It's the ideal state is that people are in there helping each other and it kind of runs itself. However, it also is really important to be a presence in your community because there's something special to it. When you get a response from these people who you have gotten to know on a podcast or in the training videos. So we do try to balance, you know, allowing the community to run itself as well as us guiding the conversation. So that's kind of a dance that we think about often.
I'm glad you brought that up because it made me think of a conversation that I had recently with a client working on her online course. And I asked her to think of some examples of communities, Facebook groups in particular, that she had been a part of. And, you know, on one side of the spectrum, she said, well, there's this one I was a part of, and, you know, there really was no engagement. It just felt kind of scattered. And then there was this other one I was a part of, and it felt much more structured, and I got more out of it. So because we know that presence and being a part of your community, whether it's a Facebook group or chat or whatever, is important. Like, but then there's also people who say, hey, I don't have that kind of time. I'm going to hire somebody and have them moderate it. Where do you stand? Like, do you think that that's a good strategy to have someone in there moderating who's not necessarily, you know, on your team? It's just kind of someone you've hired externally?
Yeah, so that it's really interesting because on one hand, you do want to that presence of you, like oftentimes if someone's joining your community, I mean, they're joining for you in some ways, right? And it's also tempting to think that. So that can be a trap sometimes because if you think that too much, then that doesn't never allows you to hire because you think to yourself, well, people are joining for me. Like I can't give them somebody else. I actually don't think that's true. And I'll come back to that in a second. On the flip side of that, though, you do want to be engaged. The tricky thing is if you want to scale, if you want to grow, it's not scalable for you to be everywhere. So you do have to have some kind of strategy. I don't think that we have found the secret sauce necessarily, and it'll be really interesting to see how we grow. I think what we have right now at Fizzle is manageable for us given our member size, but it is a goal of ours to have more members than we have today. And when that happens, we're going to have to change our strategy and see where we stand. I think, you know, one thing I'll say that's really important is if you are in a position to hire, you do want someone to help, you know, or even just like a moderator who's not even on your team necessarily, I think it is very tempting to think to yourself, well, nobody can do the same job that I can. Nobody can do it as well. And that may be true in some respects, but it is very possible to find someone who's capable, relatable, and exciting to the community. I mean, that's why I have a job at Fizzle. You know, I was not a founding member, and I feel like I've integrated very well into the community. I have sort of my flavor that's a little bit different than the other three. So, and they couldn't have known that going in. That was absolutely a risk that Corbett, Chase, and Barrett had to make when they decided to hire me. So I think that even if you have like a moderator in your Facebook group, for example, I would say look for someone. I think you want to know them a little bit. Maybe you've had interaction with them and you've talked with them, you know them a little bit or get to know them and know that it's somebody who embodies your values, somebody who is reflective of what it is that you, the vibe that you're trying to create in the community. And then I think it's all about setting expectations. You know, what do you expect them to do within the community? How often should they be stoking conversation? And make sure that they understand the role that they have. But I absolutely think it's not only possible, but necessary to think about how as you grow, you're going to have to grow some kind of team, whether you're hiring or you're joining up with somebody to help you scale.
Yeah. And I think that when it works well, it's because it's people who have, and not always, but using people who have been part of your community.
Yes.
And then, you know, promoting them up to be part of that moderation strategy. That's every time I've seen it just work so beautifully. It's always been someone who was part of the community at the beginning.
Yeah. And, you know, that's awesome for so many reasons. One, of course, they understand the vibe and, you know, the community itself. They've been part of it. So they get it, which is key. Yeah. I also think that it does something culturally that's exciting for the members. It shows the members that you are a culture of promotion and a culture of, you know, obtaining things. So if there's, for example, I'm in a few Facebook groups that I really like, and there's one that has maybe 3,000 members or something. And there are some moderators in there who were members first. They're not employed by anybody. They've been promoted as moderators. And I think it's really cool for the other members to see like, wow, maybe if I interact with this community, maybe I could be part of something like that. I think it shows people that there's an opportunity to join and grow. And that's inspiring to people.
Yep, definitely. Cool. So let's switch gears and talk a bit about motivation and growth. So I'm sure it's a big part of what you do, of just helping push people, you know, within the Fizzle forums. I've definitely been there where I'm just like hitting that wall and I'm thinking, oh gosh, how can I keep going? So for you, as you know, being the director of member success, what are some methods that you use to encourage motivation and help people push through that wall?
Yeah. So one thing I'll say for sure, we've actually been talking a lot on our team recently about interviewing our customers, and we're big fans of having conversations with your customers, understanding what your best customers are like, you know, creating a profile for your best customers. I can tell you that for us, what we have found, if we look at our members of our community who are more successful than those who maybe kind of fizzle out, sorry for the pun, we do find that those people have what we call a bias for action. And what that basically means is they're just the kind of people who are going to keep going. They're going to figure out that next best step. They're going to take a course. They're going to reach out for help. They're going to join a coaching session. They're going to do something. Yeah. And that might sound simple. It's like, well, of course, but you know, there's a lot of people who don't. And the thing is, that's I think is really interesting is we are all afraid all the time. And I think we forget that everyone is feeling fear. Everyone is feeling discouraged. Not everybody wakes up every day feeling like they're going to pop out of bed and be motivated. You know, slumps in motivation are absolutely going to happen. And I don't think the key is like shedding your fear or getting over your fear. I think that the people who are most successful are just like, yep, this is scary. And I'm going to just keep going. I'm going to keep figuring it out. So we do find that the people who are most successful, it's not that they're, you know, they don't have all the excuses or all of the reasons that they could count on their hands of why this won't work, but they just keep going anyway. So that's one big thing we talk about is like, what is the next, break it down into the next few steps that you could take right now, you know, block out the sort of pie in the sky things that you want to happen in your business. Like, if, for example, if you're just starting out, you're just choosing your topic, don't think about how you're going to make money right this second. You know, think about who your audience is going to be. Think about what problem you can solve and worry about your products and services when you have an audience and get to know them a little bit. So I think that that's really one of the biggest trends that we see is people who are willing to take the action, even when stuff's scary, even when you have family, bills, health, et cetera, to worry about. That's really one of the biggest things as far as trends go.
Yeah, definitely. So are there any, I know you guys just implemented the roadmap.
Right.
And, you know, what was the reason or first, I guess the first question is, how important is it to have a framework to help guide people through any type of progress or transformation that you're trying to teach them or help them get through?
So this roadmap was definitely a big, big project. I joined Fizzle in April of this year, which is 2015. The guys were working on the roadmap before I even joined the team. So just to give you an idea of what a big project this was, the reason we created a small business roadmap, which is basically 9 stages that we believe most businesses will go through, maybe not totally linear, but roughly. The reason it was created was because we started asking ourselves, well, first of all, it's like we sort of lament the fact that we have 2,000 members and we're not going to be able to hold every single person's hand through choosing your business idea to profitability. Like it's just not physically possible with a team of 4. So that kind of got us thinking, how if we were to create a repeatable process for everything you need to know, from I want to come up with something to I'm quote a success, what would that look like? Like, what would that process be? So for us, that's what the roadmap is. And I think that, you know, speaking personally, when I was building my business, I didn't have any kind of roadmap or any kind of guide. And I often wished that there was one. And while no business is the same as the next, you can't cookie cutter your way through this thing, it would have been phenomenal to have, you know, at least a rough guideline or a rough outline of the different things I was going to go through. Even have reassurance that a lot of the weird stuff that happens as entrepreneurs is normal and part of the process. So for us, that's what the roadmap is. It's the guide. It's like sort of a virtual coach, if you will. It's as though you have a business coach to take you through stage 1 all the way through stage 9. So the roadmap in Fizzle has really become the backbone of building a business. We have, you know, tons of courses that support the roadmap, and those courses you might take depending on what you need to do in your business. You know, we have everything from how to define your audience to how to start a podcast and other things. But the roadmap is really the thing that guides you, I think, intellectually and psychologically and you know, from a tactical perspective too, the steps that you need to take in order to find success. That's really what the roadmap are all about. And I can say that from someone who's running a community, it makes my job a lot easier, because one of the things I do is when I'm working with people, either in the forums or, you know, in coaching, I try to figure out, where is this person? Like, I am mentally every day using the roadmap myself to think to myself, okay, here's Janelle. She's got this business. Like, where is she on this roadmap? What does she need right now? And it really allows people to block out all the other stuff that they could be working on, because it's just so easy to get that shiny object syndrome when you're building a business.
Yep.
So when you know, it's like you can put first things first, and you can say, you know what? I'm in this phase. I'm in this first phase of business building. I don't need to focus on how I'm going to scale this and quit my job. Like, that's just, I need to put blinders on right now, and I need to focus on who my audience is and what they need from me. So I think it gives people license to, you know, not be out wandering in the woods without a compass, basically. So that's kind of what the thinking behind it is.
I love that analogy. Okay, Steph, my listeners love talking about tools and finding out about tools, and you kind of touched on it earlier, but what are some tools that you guys use over at Fizzle to kind of manage the community?
So we use a lot of different tools. We're big fans of Slack. I know a lot of people are using Slack these days, but we use Slack and basically have eliminated email, which is amazing. And coming from a more corporate background, when the guys told me we weren't going to be using email, I was like, what? So Slack is really cool. And we like to, that's sort of like our, you know, hub of everything that we do. We use Asana to track our projects, not even really our projects as much as our tasks. We use Trello to plan our projects. And we go through Trello as a group once a week to just talk about what projects we have in progress, what projects are completed, and keep ourselves on track for our goals for the quarter and for the year. As far as really specific to the community, we use a program called Intercom to manage our email. You know, I think especially if you're someone who has a team, having visibility into each other's inboxes is really important. So with Intercom, we're able to do that. We can assign, we can all see each other's Intercom inboxes. We can assign emails to each other. So we keep track of all of our members within Intercom, which is really, I think you got to have some kind of management system if you have a large customer base. So that's really important. Let me see, other tools that we use for the community. We do use GoToMeeting quite a bit when we want to hop on calls with our community for group coaching and for webinars. So we are, and getting into webinars is something that I think we're going to be doing more and more of for our community. So having some kind of platform to be personal and be, you know, ourselves and actually have real conversations with people, I think is really important, whether you use GoToMeeting or Skype or something like that. So those are, I think, the biggest tools that we use for the community, I would say.
So any final tips to share about running a membership site?
For running a membership site, I would say, well, I'll give a couple tips. One, I'll give a tip about, you know, staying motivated that we didn't necessarily get to that I think is really important. And it's born from our community. And you could also speak to this too, Janelle. But one of the things we find for staying motivated, first of all, I will say, if you're not part of a community, I think you have to be, that's like one of the biggest tips when people ask me, what are your biggest tips for entrepreneurs? My big thing is I always say, don't go it alone. And that means different things to different people. You know, that might mean being a part of something like Fizzle. It might mean finding the right Facebook group for you, having a mastermind group where you have accountability every single week or every 2 weeks. But if you're building something, I think it's very tempting to just be like, no, I'm so busy. I'm going to put my head down. I don't need the touchy-feely stuff. But the truth is, as entrepreneurs, it gets tough. No matter if you're the most successful person, you are going to hit, you know, a wall. You're going to feel isolated. You're going to have spouses and family members and friends who just don't get what you're trying to do. So I always say have some kind of community, have some kind of support group, and really, really use it. I think that that is definitely what separates people from being successful or just doing the easy thing, which is saying to yourself, you know what, this is too hard. I'm just going to go back to my job, which is just so easy to do. So I absolutely think having a community. I also think one of the things within a community and within our community in particular that's really helpful is we have something called progress logs that's available to our community. Basically, for us, it just looks like we have a sub forum within Fizzle where you can start a progress log and keep track of that progress every single week. So the idea is you go into your progress log, you put it out there for the whole world to see, and you say, hey, here's what I'm working on, and here's what I commit to this week. And then the idea is at the end of the week or the next week, you got to come back and say, I did it or I didn't do it, and here's why. So there's some accountability to it. There's putting yourself out there. So if you are running a membership community, I think one of the things that I learned early on is it's great to give people the opportunity to chit chat and to get to know each other and to have fun. Like that's one of the things that certainly defines our community is there's definitely a water cooler vibe. But I always say like chat is not enough. You know, there's got to be more action behind it. So if you're creating any kind of community, you really want to, I think, emphasize taking action. You want to make sure people are taking the next steps. And whatever your community is intended to do, whatever the purpose of your community is, people hang around when they feel like they're getting results. And they also want to have fun, but there has to be an emphasis on making progress. So that's one of the big things, I think, if you're moderating a community, if you're fostering a group of people, you want to make sure that they're actually moving forward and not just kind of hanging out, because the hangout thing might not be enough to make people stick around.
Very, very true. And I can attest the progress logs are so awesome. I love them, love them, love them, love them. And I've just seen so much. It's just changed my perspective, you know, since I started having a regular progress log of like, okay, I got to do these things. And I've told people I'm going to do them. So got to get it done. Definitely.
Yeah.
Cool. So we're down to the final three questions. First one is, what's next for you and Fizzle? Anything exciting on the horizon?
Well, so definitely at the at the time of the recording, it's December, and we're wrapping up our big projects for 2015. No surprise, I'm sure everyone can relate to this. Yeah. We have like so many projects that we're all of a sudden like, gosh, how did we get
so
to this
little
place?
Time?
Totally. Unbelievable. So we're wrapping stuff up and that feels good. I'm looking forward to in January, the team is going to get together and plan out 2016. So I think I wonder if you feel this way too, Janelle, but just thinking about 2016 and like the blank slate of getting to plan for the whole next year is really exciting. So for us, I think, you know, 2016 is going to be about growing. It's going to be about providing even more value to our members and to making sure that we're doing all we can to give to teach people and to give people the tools that they need above and beyond what's already available to them in Fizzle. So I don't have a concrete answer as far as like what the mechanism for that is going to be, but I can say that for sure we're going to be doing a lot more to teach and provide and coach people in the new year, which is really, I think is going to be really exciting.
And I am personally going to continue asking for a Fizzle conference. I just want to put that out there.
I know. Yes. No, we really want to do that. That's like a bit, that's, it's on our list. We would love to host a Fizzle conference and get everybody together. So I hope that happens too.
So next question, where can people find out more about you and about Fizzle?
So for me, I have a website. You can find me at stephcrowder.com. I do my best to send out newsletters here and there to people who follow me. Just, I'd like to talk about the things I'm learning because I am learning a ton being part of this business. And so you can catch up with me there. I'm also on Instagram and Twitter at stephcrowder_. So those are my personal accounts. As far as Fizzle goes, we really recommend checking out The Fizzle Show. If you've never listened before, you can find The Fizzle Show on iTunes or your podcast playing, you know, method of choice. You can also go to fizzleshow.co and look at some of the episodes that we've had. The show's been going for quite some time and we've covered a wide, wide range of topics. And as far as checking out Fizzle, you can go to fizzle.co and check out, you know, what we have to offer as far as we do offer a 14-day free trial. So you can check that out and see what you think.
Very cool. Last question, Steph, what's your why? Why do you get up every day and do this work?
Oh gosh. It's hard to boil this one down, but I think for me, my why, it goes back to what we were talking about with meaningful work, right? For me, there is nothing more exciting than, I just think about the epiphany that I had when I realized that I didn't have, like, work didn't have to be this box that I always thought it was. You know, that mural that I had in my bedroom when I was a kid, that's not the only definition of work that exists. You don't have to be contained. And I like really just enjoy watching people not only come to that realization, but then actually grow and make progress in their businesses. I mean, it's so amazing and so gratifying to watch people come into our community kind of bewildered, but excited, and then truly make progress, launch their products, start earning revenue, and find success. So I get up every day looking forward to having these real, raw interactions with people who are just like the girl that I was. And watching people really go through the journey themselves is always inspiring. It just never fails to make me feel excited about what's possible.
Very nice. Well, this has been a great interview, Steph. Thanks for hanging out.
Thank you so much.
Hey, welcome to the outro. It is an exciting place to be. But seriously, if you're planning to launch a membership site, I really hope that interview with Steph Crowder helped you in lots of ways. You can find Steph over at her site, stephcrowder.com. That is, her last name is spelled C-R-O-W-D-E-R. And Steph, actually, let's rewind. stephcrowder.com. You can also check out the show notes for the links to Fizzle and the Fizzle Show, where you can also find Steph. And you'll also find all of the links that she mentioned in the episode. You can find those over at zencourses.co/021. Again, that's zencourses.co/021 for episode 21. So I am not going to do my usual three key takeaways for this episode. I know that's something that I've been doing lately, if you've been listening along, but there were so many great insights that Steph provided to us. However, there was one key quote that just really stood out for me, and I definitely want to make sure that you don't end this without hearing it, if you didn't catch it before. Steph said, "We are all afraid all the time. The key is to keep going. I don't think I could sum it up any better than that. So there you have it. Don't let fear stop you. If you don't do it for you, do it for your future self, your partner, your kids. Heck, even do it for me, because I definitely care about your success and your growth. So I think that's a great way to wrap up today. If you want to keep in touch with me, you can always join my mailing list by heading over to zencourses.co/newsletter. Again, zencourses.co/newsletter. You'll get access to my articles, guides, and courses. And I've got some exciting stuff dropping in the next couple of weeks. All right, it's that time. As always, thank you so much for hanging out with me. I'm Janelle Allen, and this has been The Zen Courses Show. Have an amazing day or night or afternoon, wherever you are.